And we're back.
Great to have you with this course on domestic tranquility. And as we look at the topic of temperament, how God has wired you. In the last video, we talked about how God wires us with five temperaments. On the board behind me, you have the five sentences, as we talked about. I want it my way, or I want it the fun way, and why not? Or I want it the peaceful way, even keeled. Always want peace at all costs. Or I want it the right way, the way things ought to be. It's black and white. It's, you know, there's no gray in between. Or I want it your way so that you love me. And that's for the person who wants to support and reinforce the rules. They don't want to make the rules. They want to follow, and they're the servant's heart. Those are the five temperaments as we discussed. And today I want us to look at how this is applied. I took the liberty of inviting my team, my co-pastor in ministry with Community Recovery, as well as New Community Church at the Care Center, and also our executive assistant, Coco Compton. And so Pastor Greg Chandler is, and also Colette Compton are here, and they're going to tell you their experiences based upon how God has wired them. As I screened them and brought them on to our staff, we had the opportunity and fun opportunity of doing the Arnold profile with them, and they came out the same. It was quite amazing, wasn't it, guys?
It was. Very amazing. Absolutely.
And just to maybe start with you, Greg, Well, let me back up. Greg, as I described in the last video, there are three areas of temperament. First, the first area, as we talked about, has to do with general relationships, how we relate with people in general, overall, and this first area of ourselves defines us. It defines us. It is the umbrella that we're under throughout our day and, of course, our lives. The second area has to do with decision-making, work, and how we carry ourselves at work and interpersonally, intrapersonally, and how we make those decisions with projects or at home with our budgets or how we decorate the house. That second area is very different than the first. The third area, we look at personal relationships. See, personal relationships obviously are very different than general relationships. I'm not, for example, going to be as intimate with somebody at Myers who I meet for the first time as I'm going to be with my wife, right, guys?
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's very different. And, of course, that also applies to close family members, deep friendships, close friendships. And I will have to say, I have a close and deep friendship with my team here. Yes, we are in our work mode every day, but also we've been able to deepen our friendship and our relationship with each other. Absolutely. In a very special way. Thanks be to God. And I will have to say, too, and I will say this for the record, this is probably in 19 years the best team I've had ever, as I've worked with Community Recovery, New Community Church, and many other projects. So thank you guys for an excellent experience daily as God has blessed us. And so let's get to how God's wired both Greg and also Colette, or Coco, as we call her. Let's go back to the board. On the board, we have the sentences. I want it my way, I want it the fun way, and why not, we always say, or I want it the relational way, or I want it the peaceful way, phlegmatic, and the right way, the melancholy, and the your way, supine. Greg and Colette came out in the first area in general relationships, how they initiate contact and how they receive contact. Is there both fun way, relational way, sanguine?
Yay!
Absolutely. They want to have fun all the time. They're joking half the time. They want to make it a party all the time. Yeah. It's party town, as we say.
Woo!
Woo! All the time. And it's fun way, relational way. But now how they make decisions is very different. Stark contrast.
Absolutely.
Both Greg and Colette, they want it the right way, and how they make decisions and how they are wired to get the details done. And that's the right way, how things ought to be as the melancholy. And they're a little different in terms of degrees, as far as levels, but it's the same with the two of them. And in deep personal relationships, well, you'll see for yourselves, their fun way with their deep relationships, they want connection. That's another important part, too, to reemphasize. The sanguine wants connection. They are energized by people. But at the same time, when it comes to decision-making and doing the project, being at work, they're very task-oriented, they're very deliberate, and they're very much about getting the details in order. From 1 to 1.1 to 1.2, 2 to 2.1 to 2.2, and so on. But when it comes to people and relationships, bring it on. They love it. And so let's find out from their own mouth, their own experience, how this plays out in their lives, and especially as we work as a ministry team. And see, as you work in ministry, or as you are re-entering society as a returning citizen, or as you are working with people in your household, as a wife, as a husband, wherever in life, just think about how God has wired you. And of course, we hope to connect with you via online or other ways so we can help you discover how God's wired you and see how that plays out in your relationships and how you do your work. So, Greg, Colette, tell me, Greg, we'll start with you. You were at one time, a senior pastor of a fast-growing missionary Baptist church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And how long of a tenure did that church, because I know that church dissolved, and there's a whole story behind that, which is not the purpose of this interview today. Right. However, you began to discover something. People came to you and they said, "Oh, Pastor Greg, you're the guy. You need to be our senior pastor as we plant this church." This is about, 8 years ago?
Yes, it was. About 8 years ago. And there were some people that came together. They wanted to become a church. They wanted to do ministry. Started in my home as a men's Bible fellowship, and that developed. That lasted for about 2 years, and then their spouses took interest as they appreciated the growth that their husbands were making, and they decided that, hey, can we get you also to host a Bible study for the women? Then they said, why are we doing this alone? Why don't we just come together and become a church? That's how it started. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So I just basically oversaw the process, and based on your temperament, models, because I didn't want to take on that great responsibility, so I kind of offered a caveat, I'll oversee it.
Oh.
Because I didn't want the ultimate responsibility to fall on me. I want to help you because you asked for my help, but I also wanted to leave myself a way out.
Yes. As I've gotten to know you, and as we had the opportunity to confirm how God's wired you, you wanted to connect people.
That's it. I wanted to connect them, but then I wanted to fade in the background. In fact, I was challenged early on as a senior pastor just about that model, that I wanted to empower them, that they could continue on. I didn't want to be their senior pastor forever. I wanted to get them started, get a good foundation, get them where they need to be so that they can continue on, but then I wanted out.
Yeah, and that's a valid leadership model. That's a valid pattern as you have a startup and then you have a plan of succession. And those are leadership issues. Mm-hmm. However, what they didn't take into consideration, perhaps, or maybe you didn't either at the time, or somewhere in between, you were the relational guy. You were the man who said, sure, let's get everybody together. It's a big, happy family.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
so they didn't take to that part of my temperament that wants to do it the right way.
Yes.
Because, and that caused conflict, because being relational, there is still a right way that you have to approach things. Of course, as a church grows and develops and get so many opportunities available, and many of them wanted me to, like, side with one group over another group about a decision.
Yeah.
And what I'd have to do, and oftentimes that frustrated them, that said, allow me to pray about it and get God's direction on it, because I want to do it the right way, which was not popular at all. They loved the relational pastor, but they did not like the right way pastor at all.
And certainly, and what often happens, everybody, is that a person with this temperament mix, at first they come off relational, everybody's included, and it's a big happy family, and he's life of the party.
Yeah.
Greg what is, and Colette is. But right behind that, when it comes to a decision or a project, then they go into their mode of right way, details. And that can fool people, because people are thinking, well, now wait a minute. I thought you were a relational guy, Greg. I thought you were into the party all the time. And we have a lot of fun with you. But now you want to get serious about details and having order with things? I don't understand that. But coming full circle, what Greg has come to see and in terms of role and how he's wired, as things progressed with his church, and just to give it in a nutshell, unfortunately, there was a church split, and there were other things going on, which was the choice of other people and places and things, and, well, God had other plans. And that's where God brought us into relationship.
Yes.
And what happened was is that I invited Greg to join our team as he was looking to dissolve the church, unfortunately, because of things that had happened, and, well, we all know what happens with church splits. But Greg finally started to realize that the senior pastor role just was not him. That was not his bent. Not how he was meant to be. So tell me more, Greg, how, again, give me your sanguine, melancholy, sanguine, you know, fun way, relational way, right way, and then relationally again when it comes to, you know, family members and those personal relationships. What did you discover as a pastor? And, of course, as a leader of what, you know, in terms of team and also joining our team and with New Community Church and Community Recovery.
Well, I already had a passion, having accepted God's call to ministry. Of course, you go through the process of discovering, Lord, where specifically, what specialty or area of your vineyard do you want me to grow and to develop? And when the opportunity, because of the church split, where you and I, Dr. Mark, met, and subsequently through a series of events that invitation was extended, I here am jumped on it because I knew it was God's purpose for me and plan for me to continue in ministry. But as you so eloquently and accurately stated, I just didn't have an appetite for a senior pastor role. I wanted to be a support role, you know. So when we came together, by the providence of God, I honestly believe it's the providence of God, because prior to you coming to me, and I was already praying, Lord, give me some direction, lead me, guide me where you want me to be, because I know I'm not done. You're not done with me.
Oh, no.
And so that invitation to do something very unique, I never even imagined, hey, let's come together and let's start a multicultural church. Okay, I mean, my background, I grew up in the suburbs, you know, I've always had multicultural experiences. That fit right into where I believe God was leading me, and also what I particularly prefer, because I love people. Okay, I love
yes, you
all
do.
People. And the most wonderful thing about it is that I don't have to be the ultimate decision maker.
Okay.
That's what really appealed to me. I want to be involved in ministry, but I don't want to make that ultimate decision because working backward, that's what caused a lot of conflict that led to the split in the church because I didn't like being in that role to make the ultimate decider, you know, because I knew it was going to hurt some people. And I don't like hurting people.
Oh, no.
You know, and so those are the tough things. I said, well, let me leave that to someone else. So I was so glad to come along and be a part of not only Community Recovery, but New Community Church. I like when I met Pastor Lou Vandermeer, it's like the dad figure to me. My rescuer, my hero, said, yes, you take the lead. I'd love to be on your team. And then working with you with Community Recovery, and that you are the executive director. So you lead the way, but here's one thing you can count on. You have a guy that you know will get the work done and to get it done right and to get it done thorough that will have actual outcomes that are measurable. That you can count on. But that's not where I'm led. That's not what I... If someone asked me, Mark, to this day, would you like to be senior pastor again? Oh, no!
Absolutely not.
No,
man.
No, I'll support your thing, but I'm happy. And you know what's so funny, if you don't mind me saying, I read a book by Terry Nance that was entitled God's Armor Bearer. Okay,
right.
And that impressed me because I had thought in my background, especially coming from Baptist denomination, that to be effective in ministry, you had to be the senior pastor.
Right.
But Terry Nance, in his book, he was a support pastor.
Oh, yeah.
And he also wrote books. And he was saying, well, no, God never called me to senior pastor, but I will be the greatest support for the senior pastor. I will be his armor bearer. And I said, hey, I can do that, and I would like to do that. So when the heat comes on, you know, I'll go get the fan.
True. And this gentleman has my back. I really, really thank God for him. And also for you, Colette, too.
Thank you.
And because you both have this temperament pattern of relational, supportive, also team-mindedness, that's very, very consistent. Because we have to, you know, as we look at teams, and as we look at, and not just in work, but also in life, it's, in, you know, God has put us, and because as 1 Corinthians 12 talks about with the body of Christ, and we look at that often, how the hand needs the foot, the head needs the eye, and so forth. And the ear is not the eye. The ear cannot see. The ear can hear. And you all have discovered, too, how God has given you strengths that correlate with how He's wired you. And as you step into those strengths, as you maximize those strengths, as you get into that wiring, there's fulfillment. There's also peace. There's also a minimization, if you will, of depression, of anxiety, and these things. And these are the practical applications. And I think you both, and it was really special because, you know, we know each other well, and we're able to I think project and also communicate accurately how this plays out. And so Greg, as you lead with me, but also yes, as a decision maker. And as I mentioned in the video before, when I explain temperament, I'm a choleric to begin with. And cholerics, they usually make decisions quickly and are usually accurate and correct. Not all the time. I'm not perfect. No choleric is. Nobody is. However, as God has given the choleric temperament to people as a dominant pattern, decision making, as Greg was pointing out, really needs to be with that executive director, that senior pastor, that senior leader to make those decisions and to make those tough calls, but also to make the calls in general where I need to make the call, I will make the call, and I understand that some people may not like it, but that's where you move forward. And God takes care of the rest. And Greg is there too to kind of be in there. Well, let's say, for example, you have those people who don't like the decision.
Yeah.
But you're able to smooth things through.
Yeah, I bring the first aid kit.
Yes, you do.
For all the injuries that anyone would have suffered, whether direct or indirect,
yeah.
I'm there as the support vehicle
yeah.
to comfort and console and to help them to segue forward,
correct.
You know, regardless of, and also to see the larger vision. Oftentimes when the decision is made, they don't understand that this is within the framework of vision. You know, the cleric, as you know this better, Mark, than I just know observing you and Pastor Lou, that what is driving you is this vision. Mm-hmm. God has given you a burden. It must be fulfilled.
Right.
And so then we come along as a support to try to bring the people, recognize the talent, plug in the right people, but it always has to be vision-centric.
Yeah.
Okay, we cannot deviate, and that's why we support, because we know this is not personal, it's vision, because we know with the fulfillment of the vision, what they're after individually will be collectively shared with all. All will be blessed together.
Right. And so, Colette, let's turn to your experience. And we learned from Greg's experience, now let's learn from your experience. God put you in a very unique place with a very influential businessman in Grand Rapids, Michigan,
sure.
for many, many years. And but now, prior to that, as you were growing up, and now that you know how you're wired in
sure.
those different areas of relationships and work and also personal relationships, you know, the relational, right way, relational. Tell us how, you know, from what some maybe a story or two from when you were growing up, and then also working with Mr. Gruters, who the businessman, what that, how you learned quickly how that support, as Greg was saying, how it played out in those different roles. And first as a daughter, and of course as a sister, but also then as a executive assistant to a large company for many, many years.
Sure. Well, first of all, I love working with both of you. You both are absolutely fabulous, and I'm very, very, very blessed. God has blessed me with both of you. And we do have a dynamic team. Growing up, I had an engineer father and an accountant mother. And so I have a nerdy side to me, as I call it, and that is the melancholy.
Right.
The right way, and but the other way, the fun way, is that comes out a lot as well. So my mother was a lot of fun. My dad was military, so I have a little bit of that in my background. Mm-hmm. And so blending those two together has made me what I am today.
Mm-hmm.
When I was hired for the position of accountant at this firm for a developer, very prominent family in Grand Rapids. Basically, I was hired as an accountant. When I got my foot in the door, the owner had asked me within a couple months, he said, I love you. I love your temperament.
Mm-hmm.
I love your fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like you not only to be the executive assistant to myself, but a personal assistant to the family. Well, I had not had any of that experience in my life through college. And so what happened is it was basically I started from ground zero, and with the different temperaments that I have, it blended into a wonderful 20-year position with this family. And absolutely a lot of fun, lots of crazy stories. But as Dr. Mark said, I like it the fun way, but when it comes to the work setting, it does have to be that right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very confusing for people, especially mm-hmm. within the company mm-hmm. that thinks, oh, Coco or Colette is so much fun and I want to be your best friend. Well, at work, I am focused on that goal, and it is very confusing to them. But with relationship, I love and I love deeply.
I love
you. I love Pastor Greg. I love our whole team that we work with, but I love them deeply. And I expect that in return. I expect the same thing that I give out to be returned to me. I want you to work as hard and Greg to work as hard. We all have to work together in the same manner. So it's an interesting blend, but learning, you know, my different attributes that I have, it makes it successful, you know, in the end, basically.
Sure. Now, there are a couple things about the sanguine melancholy blend. And well, first thing is, as we know, and as I described in the previous video, sanguines, relational people, they need to talk in order to think. So, comment on that a minute, either one of you, as far as in order to talk or to think out loud.
I'm divorced, so I talk to my dog.
Well, okay.
No, but I do. As Dr. Mark had mentioned, I feel that I am energized by talking, and I think most of the staff members at the church, when they see me coming, they want to duck in their office because I always have something to say. But I do. I love everyone deeply, and I do want to talk, and I always feel that I have something to say, but maybe they don't.
Well, and that's because, too, the sanguine is the extrovert. The sanguine draws energy from people.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and as this course, too, and I just want to weave this in, everybody, is that as we look at restorative justice, as we look at domestic tranquility, not domestic violence, one of the important things to understand as we get to know ourselves, as we're made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26, we also identify how that helps people who are coming back into society from prison or jail or from rehabilitation centers because of addiction and other things. We all need help. We all need restoration. This is part of it. And if we come to know who we are in the most excellent way, as we learn about the wiring God has put in us and our tendencies and our needs and our wants, this helps us to restore each one of us individually and also collectively as a community in a more peaceful state, to bring a peaceful or tranquil society that wants to do what God wants and to really promote civility and love and grace, all that Jesus taught. And so this is a big part of it too. So this is where the rubber meets the road, because, you know, as people are wired differently, they have different needs and they express it differently. And as different wants, they're expressed differently based upon the mix. And so, Greg, coming back to you, talking or to think and people, talk about that too as far as the whole extroversion and getting energy from people.
I really used to struggle being self-conscious, and especially in my prayer life with the Lord, because since I love people, love to interact with people, I draw energy, as you describe, so accurately from people. But then this right way of mine, my talking aloud and sometimes interacting with people is to get feedback so I can do it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I oftentimes, and I don't mean to, and that's why it brought me in prayer, because God, am I using them? Is because since I want to do it the right way and I have the personality that loves to connect with people, am I just trying to get feedback from them by talking out loud or engaging them so I can do it the right way?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I genuinely appreciating their relationship?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I had to pray about that, because, again, my ultimate goal is not to hurt anyone.
Oh, no.
But yet I want to do whatever task it is I have to do it right. And so I definitely need their feedback. So I would oftentimes come up with different subjects or whatever I'm working on, mm-hmm. and throw it out there just so I can get feedback from them. You know, when they don't know unwittingly, I'm trying to gain enough, you know, information that will help me conclude that this is the best approach.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But of course, too, let's just look at the fun way in general. You want to have fun, and also,
yeah.
If it's not fun, then why not? You know, and it needs to be fun, and why not?
Yeah.
But also too, it's where you're also slapping ideas on the wall, and you don't even know where that's headed at the moment,
no.
And you really don't care about the details in that mode. But then you flip to the melancholy part of you and. Details.
Yeah.
And so
I have mowed very intensely.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why some people will, who are you talking to? And I'm talking aloud to myself.
To yourself.
Because I'm trying to work it out. You know, I have all these options, you know. And that's what used to really put a strain in my personal relationship with the Lord, you know. Why don't you just tell me what you want? You know, plain and simple, right?
Certainly.
So you can take all the guesswork out of it, you know. But then I come to find out as I mature in Christ is that this is what brings me in close proximity and keeps me in close proximity mm-hmm. with Him, that I may be able to hear His still, small voice and quiet some of my quote-unquote crazy. But, you know, I've got that balance now in my life that actually gets enveloped in one word, wait. I have found waiting on the Lord. A lot of things will come to me, the right people, the right approach, a lot of things, just to quiet my spirit, mm-hmm. you know, just to wait. And in that waiting I'm describing, Dr. Mark, my brother, whom I love, is an active waiting, not a passive waiting, where it's, you know, someone would sit there, you know, bouncing their leg up and down, you know, the things that we do, how we display waiting when we really don't want to wait. But this is an active waiting that is filled with expectation and anticipation. I know that the God who called me to it is going to see me through it.
Yeah. Certainly. Now, one last thing. As we look at the three areas, we also look at blending. And Greg and Coco talked about how their whole blend, I mean, how the sanguine, for example, plays off the melancholy, and the melancholy plays off the sanguine. In other words, the fun way playing off the right way, and how people get confused, but then they learn, and so on. But also when they blend, that's also important too. And guys, I've talked to you about this as well, and on the job as we go, and as I coach you, and as we coach each other, but as I'll often tell you, you want things to be wonderful mm-hmm. with people in terms of what you initiate
yes.
and also what you expect. I like that word, expect.
I do.
What you expect back to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then right behind it is right way. And when that blends in with a fun way, you often, and if things don't come together at certain times where it's wonderful, where we're okay,
yeah.
and it's right, where things are in the right place, correct, and not wrong, you often will feel insecure
mm-hmm.
and also feel
yes.
angry
mm-hmm.
and often feel like, I shouldn't say I'm angry. You should say, I'm hurt.
Yep.
I'm hurt.
Right.
Now, friends, as you watch the other video, this may remind you of another temperament pattern, the supine. And I explained in that segment how the supine is the sanguine and the melancholy, the fun way and the right way, as one. Now, with Greg and Colette, they deal with moments, certain times, not all the time, but certain times when those two, the sanguine and the melancholy, when they blend, then you have those moments where you tend to spiral a bit.
Mm-hmm. And you, to say the least.
Yeah, and you feel that insecurity, and you feel, because then
the
you
anxiety.
And the anxiety, mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. And where you need to learn where to say no, I'm angry because to get the anger out, because if you don't get the anger out, as we looked at last video, it can turn into depression,
mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, people can't tell what's really going on underneath, what's going on in you. In addition, it's that whole thing of you expecting other people, like myself, to read your mind. And I can't read your mind.
Oh, yeah. Right.
But you but you're thinking, oh, he should just know what I need. You know, he knows me enough. So we learn this with each other, too. So have you had those moments with other people? Not just myself, you know, as we work together.
In the past, I have.
Okay, yeah.
Definitely in the past, I have. Mm-hmm. And through counseling, I've learned to express that. Right. Because being the nice person, the fun way, I didn't want to hurt your feelings by telling you A, B, and C. So therefore, I would hold it in. Mm-hmm. And then I was depressed. So mm-hmm. I've mm-hmm. learned over the years to, mm-hmm. hey, when this happened, that mm-hmm. kind of hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. So definitely verbally expressing or emailing or texting.
Right.
You know, nowadays. So I've learned that over the years.
Okay.
So those different little temperaments I've really learned to control.
Certainly. And what Colette is reflecting on is how through counseling and through other coaching, she's been able to integrate and also, you know, build the strategies and build the tools and use the tools,
mm-hmm.
You know, spiritually, psychologically, mentally, and socially to help her stay balanced enough. Of course, we all need Jesus.
Absolutely.
And with the Holy Spirit, the way God has made you, mm-hmm. He's helped you to balance it out. And Greg, how about you? Where has that come from?
Well, I've come to find the purpose of hobbies.
Okay.
Because when it comes to me in moments of anger, I will turn to express it through my hobbies. You know, I'm kind of tech savvy, so I will take on a project that I know is going to be quite comprehensive and involved. Mm-hmm. And I have the temperament, if I start a project, I don't leave it until I complete it. So through fixing or working or changing or whatever a project that I'm on, I get all my emotions out mm-hmm. through that. And then the wonderful thing of the success of the finished project, you know, especially when we're trying to fix a computer, you know, especially I go in angry from what I've had, and then it's just like, oh, it's like a challenge. So I'm like meeting the challenges and finding different ways to get it done. If I don't do that, Mark, then I have a tendency of withdrawing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I will withdraw. I'll get quiet mm-hmm. because in my head space, I'm believing that I caused some injury to someone, I did something wrong, some mm-hmm. kind of how, mm-hmm. and I should basically take myself out of the picture.
Certainly, and that's that self, see, part of that affect, I call it, the supine effect.
Yeah.
It's not all the time, because
no.
predominantly you are sanguines, yeah. and the melancholy, of course, is strong in your work mode, mm-hmm. and then, of course, sanguine in your deep relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have those supine moments,
right.
yeah, that's where you want to withdraw, because then you don't mm-hmm. you think to yourself, I'm not worth dirt.
Yep. Right.
Got that right.
But the truth is, you mm-hmm. are fearfully and wonderfully made
yeah.
by God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. It has been amazing to just now unpack, but also present to the world what in fact, God has done in your lives and how God's wired you, and to help us learn how the wiring, the temperaments play out in every part of life. Thanks for watching, and look forward to the next video as we come together again. God bless.